Well, I can't think of a better day following the day we had yesterday for us to really be here to seek the Lord. The elders have been praying and have something to give you in an envelope today that you're going to take home, and they'll explain that, how we came to this process. So let's open with prayer. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the tie that binds us together. Lord, it's you. It's all you. And Lord, we just want to be in your will and in your purposes. And so I pray now that, Holy Spirit, that you will guide our meeting, guide our brothers as they present the different areas of this meeting. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the plans and purposes that you have for us. And Lord, you know that our desire is to walk in the plans that you have ordained, to be obedient to you. And we know that you will prosper us and you will accomplish the work through us that you desire to accomplish. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jeff?
You might want to share that we're recording this so that it can be posted on the website so that people who are not here will hear what is shared. That's why the recorder is going, just as a way of reaching out to those family members who can't be here today.
Do you think that was heard?
It must have been. I think it was.
Did you hear that?
Go ahead.
So there was a meeting that we had on Friday about how to present this to the body, and I'm just so grateful for John Oswald, who just gave us basically our roles for this meeting, and it was just beautiful how I think the gift of administration is there. So he assigned me to present basically the vision of the church, but it's based on what all of you came up with, what God gave you, as you sought his face in prayer about what would you have this house be. It's almost like, what would you have me do?
Yeah.
As we just heard in the preach message. And you don't need another sermon that I appreciate. I mean, I apologize for this, but God, he really spoke through you, all of you who sought his face. And there were three things that John identified. And as I went home and meditated on them, I said, amen. This is exactly how you can take all of that data that you guys prayerfully presented into three areas. Number one, you know, what would you have this house be? Number one, it needs to be a house that is visible to the community. Okay? Number two, it needs to be a blessing to the community. And the third is that there needs to be a place where that ministers to the spiritual needs of the body, us, and the community. So visibility, blessing, physical needs, and ministry to the spiritual needs of ourselves and of the spiritual needs of our culture. And I was taken to Matthew. I've been taken to Matthew a lot here, 11, 28, and 29. You guys are in the Sunday school. This is very repetitious. But 11, 28, 29, listen to how this verse inculcates all of these three visions, these three aspects of what our church is to be. Jesus said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Visibility of the community is an invitation. Our church, which you guys saw, our church is to be an invitation to come unto Christ. We want it. Why is that land so flat and right up on 67? You can see the wisdom of God. That land is beautiful. It is so evident. And even the Roxbury people say, oh, isn't it wonderful that the gateway of our town, there's going to be a church? Well, that's an invitation. And this is the vision that God has for us, is that Christ is saying, come unto me. All right, so that's the visibility of the community. Blessing to the community. All right, now, there's many ways that we're going to bless, but physically, we can be a blessing to this community. We can be a place where the elderly are ministered to, where the hungry are ministered to, where the addicted are ministered to, where daycare can be done and there can be rest for, you know, working women, a place of inspiration, even entertainment, but with an asterisk, like with theater, you know, that has a gospel message to it. All right, these are all physical blessings to the community that can be poured through this church that God has on his heart. So there's an invitation, come unto me, you know, be a light in secular darkness that shines. There's rest. Jesus says, come unto me, and what? I will give you rest. And that can be very literal. And, of course, the spiritual is massive, and that's the last part. The last part that John identified is minister to the spiritual needs of the body and to the community. And there are four things that God just sort of had me consider. And the first thing, ministry to spiritual needs now, and I got to tell you, and I don't want to embarrass him, but thank God for our pastor, because he champions exactly what God has on his heart for this church to be. Okay? Number one, my house shall be a house of prayer. All right? This is ministering to the spiritual needs of ourselves and of the community. And again, here we go back to Christ. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. You know, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You know, in the embrace of Christ, we are in prayer to him. As we come unto him, he takes the burdens of our struggles and our sins, and he takes that yoke off of us, and he puts his yoke on us. And we are lifted in prayer. This is intimate. This is powerful. This is transformational. This is what he's going to do as we set ourselves to be a house of prayer, as Michael has championed all these years. He will do nothing less than transform us. So my house shall be a house of prayer. Number two, my house shall be a house of truth. Our culture is failing and going down the toilet. And the truth of the gospel, this house that God is going to be built, is a house of truth. The gospel will be preached. It must be preached. And Michael has championed that, and everybody that has gotten behind this pulpit in 20 years has preached the gospel. I don't think there's ever been a message that didn't have the gospel written all over it that came out of this from behind this pulpit. So I just want to encourage you, the gospel is what is going on here. That's revelation of who God is. It's conviction of our needs. It's repentance, as we heard this morning. It's cleansing, it's healing, it's refreshment, it's restoration, it's transformation. You turn the culture upside down when you preach the gospel of Christ. And that's what God wants to do with this church. He wants to literally turn this culture upside down. Because it is going down the tubes, and we all know it. And we are not to be silent during this time, for such a time as this, that God wants to build this church. The third thing, so my house shall be a house of prayer, a house of truth. My house shall be a house of worship. You know, in Sunday school today, we looked at prayer and praise and how linked they are. They're both involved. They have focus on God and response to him. And, you know, the worship leaders, praise God for them. What? How, could you believe that today? I mean, here's the four bullfrogs up there, and God made it, you know, something amazing. And it's beautiful what happens when the spirit of worship falls on a body. And one of the coolest things ever is to be over here and looking at you guys, looking up and seeing the glory of the Lord all over you as you worship him and as you praise him. And you're transformed by praise. just as you're transformed by prayer. These are the same essence. It's a impression, and then there's an expression. You know, you have to. You can't help yourself because the beauty of Christ is so beautiful. And you're like, whoa, I want to praise Him. It's not a have to. You can't help yourself. So this house should be a house of worship. And finally, this house shall reveal the essence of my being, says God. And this is the blossoming of the love of Christ among us. Just as Michael has been preaching. Thank God for the message today. I mean, as we grow in love with each other, you know, that knowledge of Christ, to know the fullness of the knowledge of Christ, we will experience that as we walk together through this project. Yes, it's going to take endurance. Glenn. Yeah, it's going to be hard. But we are going to have, you know, the joy of the Lord. You know, we are going to be praising God as we go through this. And we'll be uplifted with joy. And we will have strength to do the work because He is going to give that to us. And, you know, this is really the highest call that we have as human beings, is that Ephesians 3:17 through 19, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. As we walk together and we experience the love of Christ, we are going to be filled with the fullness of God. Boom. If you know the quadratic infinity, the height, the depth, and length and breadth of Christ, you're filled with the fullness of God. There is nothing more in this world that you could ever have. And as that happens in us, we're going to reveal, they'll know that we are Christians by our love. So, you know, this is... I just thank John for bringing those three to pass, you know, as far as what our church is to be useful for in God's hands. So I just encourage you. And hey, I could not be there yesterday. I've said this 1,000 times today. I wanted to be here so bad. And to hear just what went on. Oh my gosh, what a thrill. And Marilyn is taking pictures, and she just told me she's going to be kind of the historian for the project. Don't mean to put you on the spot. So those of us that could not be there, those of us that could not be there are going to be able to at least see the mud and the smiles and the prayer walk and the water and everything that went on.
And the food.
And of course the chainsaws and the brush and everything. It means a lot to be able to look in on that.
Just a quick note on the visibility. When I was pulling out yesterday, there were people that were driving by as I was waiting to get into the road, and they're all looking to the right to see what's going on. They're like, look at the sign out there.
The problem with the sign, the town, we've already asked the town, it can only be 6 square feet, so it would be 3 by 2.
Oh,
or 6 by 1.
I was thinking we might, with one of the trees that we've taken down, make a cross, just to construct a cross out of a tree and just put it right smack in the center of the field.
There you go.
Yeah.
What do you think? Maybe.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Absolutely. And easy to notch a tree together and just.
Would the sign go on that or?
I don't know. I think that's pretty much a sign.
If I put the sign next to the road, would
it be better? Yeah. I think we'd have the cross, but then also a sign to the road, just so people driving by will know. One of the things that I really, years ago, I'll be real quick about this, we were told to take off the sign that said office on the sign that we have on the ministry house. But I want to put something else on there. I want to say worship at the town hall at 10 a.m. because I've often wondered, people driving by seeing the sign and thinking it's a house church. Who knows? But if we could hang that underneath that sign, that would be a good thing. So I will. I didn't mean to tell the elders this. We talked about that, didn't we?
I don't recall. No. I don't recall us doing that, Michael.
Okay.
Yeah. So, in the order of events, I am going to represent, along with Cynthia, help represent what's been going on with the building team. For those that don't know, Mark Stoughton, Denise Stoughton, Cynthia Risch, myself, and Mark Murray have been the members of the building team. And we have been meeting, and we've been meeting pretty faithfully, at least once a month, to talk about where we are, what are our next steps. And I'm going to defer to Cynthia to walk through specific points that we've been going through. But I wanted to let you all know that we have been meeting. We are looking to move forward. And there are several aspects of the project that we are pursuing at this point. Things from, you know, whether or not we need certain soil tests performed in order to understand what type of foundation we need to build. Hence, that would impact the architectural drawings. The architectural drawings are going on. Putting a sign up on the property to say future home of or something along those lines. Engaging with Michael Patterson about perhaps we can get an artistic rendering of what the place might look like when we're done. Organizing the workday. All those sorts of things are things that we have been looking at and working on, but I'll let Cynthia come up and go through it in a little more detail.
So it's kind of, you know, we are making sure that we're meeting once a month to keep momentum going and make sure that we're on top of all the different moving parts. So, you know, usually at our meetings, it's kind of like, what's the thing that's most immediate? And let's make sure that's covered. And then let's talk about some ideas that we've had and what we need to kind of start to do. So, you know, the workday definitely has been something that we've talked about, and you've heard a lot about that. So definitely that was something that Mark said, you know, we want to build community. We want people to feel involved with the land that aren't on the team. And you know, obviously there's more work to be done. So we definitely see more days very similar to that in our future. We are currently waiting to hear back from the architect. We want to move forward with the...
The architectural drawings.
I'm still learning all these terms. Move forward with the architectural drawings, and from that we can start to get lists of materials that we will need, amounts and prices, and that's something that we can then go forward and kind of talk about getting donations for, and it will give us a really better idea of cost. So we're waiting to hear back from the architect on when he can start with that. He was in a very busy season when we contacted him a few months ago, so he asked us to wait, so Mark is following up with that. Also with the soil testing, Peter Scalzo had looked at... some paperwork and suggested that we get soil testing, so we are looking into that, but we're also looking into whether we do feel that's necessary based on the other tests that we've had. So we're waiting back to hear from Brian Neff, our engineer, on that. Michael Patterson has agreed to do some renderings for us. You might remember way back we had decided not to pay for those because it was a pretty large cost. And the purpose of renderings is to have a picture that we can use of, you know, this is, you know, that visual representation of this is what we're, this is our vision, I guess, like literally for what would go on the land. We're also still preparing a little bit of the information we need to go to donors in terms of this is who we are as a church and this is where we're looking to go. So that would be, you know, the pastor, the elders, where we meet, all those type of details, how long we've been meeting, and then kind of go with that would be that list of materials that I mentioned before. So it's kind of twofold. And then two more things. We've been talking about other ways that everybody can get involved and things, you know, there's certain things that the building team is responsible for and certain things we'd like to kind of open up. And one of those, Joe was talking about something like an interior design team because there's going to be like faucets to choose and color of tiles and all that. And that takes research and that, you know, that is a good thing to begin to maybe go visit other churches and what their choices were and why they chose those things. And so we want to talk about possibly putting a team together for that. So you can kind of tuck that in the back of your mind if your interest just got piqued a little bit. And then the next thing has become very personal to me in the past 24 hours, that to have prayer walks on the property. I didn't really want to talk about this too much in church because it's not about me, but like the Lord just blessed me so much yesterday. I cannot even express the just what happened. and so I'm really moved to do that more. You know, whether people want to pray on their own, which is fine, or they want to pair up, I would like to do that a little bit more as well. And I think that's it, as well as the sign. We did discuss the sign. I did talk to the person from Town Hall. It's just moving forward with that. Okay, I think. Does that sound about right, Joe? Yeah, okay.
Are there any questions that people might have
about what...
Cynthia, you said, I think I heard you right, about getting a committee together for decorating?
Yeah, when we start, you know, when they actually start putting everything together, choices often need to be made very fast. What tile do you want? You know, that type of thing. So the idea is to start researching that now. So, because it's going to be a process in terms of what looks good, what we have to pay for, what we work in a church versus a home. So that's something that's probably needs to get started.
Did anybody ever think about putting this in the newspaper?
Putting what in the newspaper?
Putting on our church in an article in the paper saying who we are, how long we've been together, what we're planning. We want the land and what our vision is, and maybe a picture of what the church is going to look like.
So actually, we...
I don't think half the people in town even know we exist.
We've been approached, actually, by several different papers to have us put an article, to do an article on it. At the time when we were purchasing the property, at the time when we were going through the different committees in town, zoning committee and all those sorts of things, we as the elders felt that it wasn't the right time and the right spirit that was around the request to do that article at the time. But I can, you know, if the Lord gives us the right unction, I could see us doing that. But right now, we felt that that is not where we need to be. That is not what we need to do right now.
Okay.
So, yes, it has been thought about. We have been approached, but at this time, we've said we don't think it's the right time yet.
Okay. Joe, a question about the soil testing?
Yes.
What's that about?
So, one of the things that we need to be mindful of is, Peter Scalzo brought that up, because in the contract that we have with the architect, they said that's one of the things that they would not include in the price of doing all of the drawings for the project. And so if we needed any sort of soil testing, we had to do it on our own. And they gave us some recommendations in terms of people that they did. Now, the soil test is all about when you pour concrete and you're building this big structure, you need to know what is the concrete going to sit on.
Oh.
And if it's sitting on sand, you got to do something different than if it's sitting on clay versus it's sitting on gravel. So things about water tables and water hydraulic pressure coming against the concrete, you need to make sure you have the right base in place before you pour the concrete.
Joe, when we built our house, my husband put drains all around the foundation. That is draining almost constantly. And our downstairs is all finished, and we had no water problem because of the drainage that he has. And if you go by the road, you can see the water almost year-round coming out. So I think it's very important to, you know, they already know probably about putting drains around. Because we're flat, the water might be an issue. So.
Yeah, so drainage from septics, from the downspouts, from curtain drains, all of that is being considered. And that was considered by Brian Neff when he put the site plan together. So all of that's already been taken care of. But until you dig a big hole, you really don't know for sure what's under there and how water tables are going to...
So this ground testing is something separate that we have to do other than what the architect... Is that what you're saying? If you speak a little bit louder, my hearing is not good.
So what I was saying was that when you get ready to pour the concrete... For the foundation, you need to be certain of what type of soil
is there when you're pouring the concrete. The soil test was a recommendation by the architecture team to say you probably want to, the architects are not going to include the cost of a soil test in the package that they're developing for us. We need to take that on ourselves. And so one of the things that we wanted to do is re-engage with Brian Neff and say, Brian, from all of the different samplings that we've already done when we bought the property, do you think, based on your expertise, do we need to do another set of soil tests for putting the foundation in? And so that's what we're trying to re-engage with Brian about and get a recommendation. The soil tests that we're talking about, I think we're in the range of $5,000 to $10,000. So they're not insignificant. So that's why we're saying let's make sure these are things that we need to do. Michael?
Anything about the turning, the facing?
So again, we wanted to talk with Brian as well. We haven't gotten back to him. Michael had suggested, based on the current site plans for the building right now is oriented such that the sides of the building run parallel with Route 67, as opposed to having the front of the building facing Route 67. I believe Brian said he originally oriented the building that way to accomplish a few things. One, to give us the proper setbacks from the roads and from our neighbors. Two, to provide an area of parking behind the church. Three, to avoid wetlands. And all those things were taken into consideration to give us what Brian was thinking was the best location of the building and orientation of the building, given the footprint of it and all of the concerns that we need to think about. You know, lights from cars shining on neighbors' houses and all those sorts of things are things that we need to think about. Mm-hmm. So,
was just about the aesthetics.
One
of those have thought that looking at the front of the church and the doorway is a little bit more inviting.
Yes, exactly.
Than the side of the building.
Where is the front?
So, if the wall represents Route 67 here, mm-hmm. and the altar represents the church building, this would be the front of the building.
On the side.
Coming
in the left.
This
on the left.
Yep. Route 67's here.
Wait. The driveway that's right there, would that be facing that driveway?
The driveway that's right there.
The neighbor's driveway.
The
neighbor's
driveway. The driveway to the house.
Whose driveway?
And the neighbor's driveway.
It's a house. The Stinson's?
Yeah. It'll be on the left.
On the left?
Yeah, you're facing the church.
All right, so let me reorient this again. Yeah.
But make that 67, Joe. That's 67
this is Route 67.
Okay.
I'm heading towards New Milford this way.
Okay, yeah.
All right, so...
Well, no.
Can I just
this is Route 67. Right, 67, the church is on the right-hand side, so you're headed towards New Milford that way and Roxbury this way, okay?
You're looking at a different orientation than me.
Okay, so right now the design is that the church sits this way sideways. You would come in and drive around and park behind the church. And the entrance, I understand, is on the right-hand side of the church. Uh-huh. That's the way it would look right now,
facing that red house?
Facing the road.
So facing the red house.
Yeah.
Is there a red house over here?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So
the
facing the red house.
This
would be your entrance into the building. Does that help? That's where it is right now. What Michael's saying would be nicer if kind of the church looked like this, where you would see the front door as you're driving along 67. Does everybody get this?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So
the big window would be facing, coming in from Bridgewater.
Yes.
So with the building facing this way, you would have a big window right here coming in from Bridgewater.
Yeah, at the end, the gable ends of the...
Coming in this way, so the sanctuary would be on... I could just visual a big window.
So the point being is the current orientation does not have the front door facing the street, facing Route 67.
Okay.
And as far as aesthetics are concerned, There was Michael, among others, has said, can we basically turn the church building 90 degrees such that the front of the front door is facing Route 67? And what our understanding is from the building team is, if we want to reorient it, we got to go back through the zoning committee, back through wetlands committee, back through the special permitting, because the plans that were approved assumed parking in a certain area, assumed the septic system in a certain area, assumed certain setbacks. So if it's something that we want to do, we need to, again, it'd be an expense to go through all of that again.
Oh, wow.
So we want to confirm again with Brian, if we turn it, do we need to go through this again? We're thinking yes, but we want him to give us his expert opinion.
So that's going to take months to do that?
It would take months to do that again.
Even so, we're not sure that it would be the optimal. You know, when he said it on the land, it was accounting for all those things that Joe mentioned, so it might be not the optimal way to do it, even though I know visually I understand that, so that's what we need to talk to him about. We want to honor the fact that that's been brought up, and we want to talk to him about it, so we're just kind of at that in limbo, I guess, with that right now.
Assuming that they laid it out that way, because that's the most efficient way to lay it out, and because of wetlands and so forth. Well, let's assume that that's the template that we have to work with. Can the architects do something where they have a front door coming in the center of that long facing, where it appears that that's the entrance, although you may have a back entrance where the parking is behind it anyway? I don't know how that affects the interior.
Yeah, we'd have to think about that as well, and bring it up with the architect. So
it does look like it's a center, and the church actually looks larger because of it.
Yeah.
So be another option.
People's churches and see how they're out and see the ideas.
Yeah. All right. I don't want to take up any more time. I know we're running late. So, Bill, I think you're up next.
I'll try to be really brief. The page she's handing out is just a cash balance, so we know where we are financially. As you know, Peter Tomasi, Bill Wurz, and Cara, myself, and Rosie are on the finance committee together. And the first thing we always are amazed by is that how faithful this church is. It's really amazing with the numbers we have, but the faithful giving and the... God just does it. You know, we just seem to have exactly what we need when we need it. And I'm expecting that to be the case as we go forward. Before we get to the cash balance, just a quick review. Our budget for 2016 is actually about $14,000 less than it was in the previous year. If you remember that from about 5-6 months ago, and the two main reasons for that was that we refinanced, and so our mortgage is about $8,000 less than it was last year, and the rent across the street is no longer a factor. So between those two items, that represents the lion's share of the $14,000 savings in our budget. So with that being said, just so you know, I didn't pass this out, so this is just kind of an update. Through the first quarter of our giving, we're $12,000 ahead of budget. Okay, so we have an extra $12,000 that has come in, which you will see in our operating account at the top. There's $52,000 in there, and part of that, the reason for that is because the giving has been greater than our expenses. Okay, so let's see. As Cynthia said, we're grappling with what the costs of this project are, and until we get the revised final drawings from the architect, we're not really going to know. And so that's kind of what the finance committee and ultimately the fundraising committee are going to have to work with, so they have an idea of exactly what the costs are and where we are and how much do we need. And then we can go forward a little bit more efficiently to people and friends and associates. But we are estimating, I think all along that it was about $1 million to $1.5 million kind of thing to complete this project. Now, assuming that the low end is the realistic number to get into a building, because we talked about some of those numbers not having to be, some of those dollars not having to be used in order to get in, because we can finish off the basement later and things of that nature. So assuming it's something like that, you know, right now we have $143,000 in Caleb, and we've got another $52,000 in operating income. So we're almost, you know, we can take some of those monies from the operating income for Caleb. But that's, you know, a recommendation that the Finance Committee would make with the elders, and then we'd go forward. But some of those numbers are available if we decide to use them. The Finance Committee's always wanted to have a few months worth of, maybe, I forget what we said, we say 6 months of operating income. No, not even that. Not even that.
Three.
Was it three? Thank you, Bill. So we can use some of those resources. But if that came to that, like I said, the Finance Committee would meet and make a recommendation to the elders, and then we go forward. We have $150,000, $175,000 maybe to use for this project to get to that million. We've talked about the ministry house and this, and where we are, and you know, it's our desire as leadership to keep the property at 16 South Street. If there's any way to keep the two properties, we'd like to do that. But like I said, we're gonna have, once we get specific numbers, we'll see how far we need to go. As far as fundraising goes, you know, I was struck by what Ildi said. You know, she said Moses, God spoke to Moses and said, "What do you have in your hand?" And I keep coming back to that. The first thing is prayer. You know, it's prayer. If God wants to do that, and He wants us to be the conduit through which He operates, we just need to pray and give what we have in our hands and say, "This is what I have, God. Multiply it." And I think that has to be our attitude and our heart. We can come up with all kinds of ideas as to how to raise funds. You know, we can have bake sales. We can have all kinds of things, you know. But what does God want us to do with our time and our resources? And we give them to Him and see what happens. And it seems to be a common theme from everybody that speaks about this. So I think we just need to do that and see what happens. So if we do have a committee that wants to do fundraising, praise God. But I think the first thing we're going to do is we're going to pray. Say, "God, here's what we have. What would you have us to do?" And He may say, "Keep praying." He may say, "Go talk to this person. You know, go talk to this brother. He has a landscaping company." Or, you know, who knows what it might be. But I think Glenn was right. You know, once you step out, God is going to show up. I mean, it's His project. It's His project. So, let's see. I think that's all I had, really. I mean, yes.
We have $143,000 in the table fund, but some of that has been committed already. Is that true in terms of the drawings we've already committed?
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, didn't we talk about that at the elders' meeting?
Yes.
There was how much? What was that number again? Was it 80,000?
The total amount that the architect is, I think that the contract that we signed with them for the total project was $83,000 to do all of the architectural drawings, all of the elevation drawings, everything that we would need in order to build the building. Now, that's not all at once. It happens in phases. We have committed, I think it was $8,300 as a retainer for them to begin. So 10% of the total amount was a retainer. And I think the first deliverables, being the architectural drawings, I want to say that is about $50,000. to do all of those drawings, and I think even that is split up between a couple of different phases.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the total package for all of the architectural drawings, I think, was around $83,000, but it'll be paid out over time when specific deliverables are met by the architect as we move forward in the project.
Yes. In terms of what we have in hand, we have around $60,000, if you will.
But that is that is part of, say, the million and a half that we've talked about as an overall cost to do the whole project.
Did you say 83
yeah.
million?
Oh, million.
Hold me up. Yeah. Yeah.
We missed our profession, though.
We found out that is a typical.
Yeah.
That's typical call schedule for commercial architectural drawings. It is not out of the ordinary.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. And they actually reduced a little bit too. It was higher.
Yes.
And we went back and talked to them, and they reduced it a little bit as well.
So
which is a blessing.
I'm just thinking, just a drawing, but it's.
No, it's not. Nah. It's all sorts of specifications that the electricians need, the plumbers need, the heat and bath people need, the people who pour the foundation need. It's a total package of everything that's needed.
Wow. You can't dig a hole and pour some cement.
I don't think when we built our house we had a piece of paper saying that. Okay.
I'm all for the good old days.
We're really running late, and I apologize. I'm going to ask for 5 minutes of just your attention, and then I promise we'll close it. I just want to start with a correction, and thank you, Jeff. Jeff borrowed my notes for what we summarized. I just want to share with you, we read through, as elders, we read through everyone's ideas several months ago. And it was Joe who was moved by the Holy Spirit to say, you know, these are the three things. That really, it was Joe. And I took notes and just followed them. So it's just, that's where the Spirit was working that day, and God bless you. But every one of your recommendations was read and prayed over, and is still being read and prayed over. So I wanted to make sure you understand that. Bill gave me a perfect segue. He could not have done it better, because one of the things that we as elders recognized over the last few weeks, we need to have, as a body and as a leadership, an understanding of what do we have in hand. Where are individual members and friends of Chippewa Valley Bible Church being led in terms of what kind of a financial contribution can they make to this building project? We never want to know individually, but we need to know as a body. One of the reasons we've been put to the back burner in terms of doing some drawings and some plans is because we aren't ready. We aren't ready to sign contracts with anyone. We aren't ready to get a plow. We aren't ready to build a family. We could build a hole in the ground and have a swimming pool, but we just aren't ready to, you know, I believe this is a project that could be done in one building season when we're ready to go. But we aren't ready to tell our architects we're ready to go, so give us those plans, because we don't know what we have in hand right now. We can't go sign a contract with a contractor, a carpenter, anyone. We don't know what's truly available other than what the money that has been graciously and by God's direction already given. So praise God for those funds. But we are asking now, as part of our planning and preparation process, that anonymously, but through prayer, if every member and friend of Chippewa Valley would go to the Lord and seek guidance, what can they offer as a financial contribution over the next 3 years? Because this is a process, and this will take time, but right now we have even no idea of how long this will take. And it also becomes important when we do, if we do, one of our hopes and prayers, we truly do not want to go into debt to build this building. Our hope and prayer is that we will not pass along a debt to future generations, that this is something that God will provide. We believe God will provide.
But our starting point is who in the body? Where is the body in terms of contributing towards this? And that allows us then, if and when we need to go outside, ask anyone outside, which, you know, here's this project that's leading us, here's who we are, would you be willing to help? And quite often the first question is, well, yeah, I would think about that. What are you doing? What are you, Chippewa Valley Bible Church, contributing to this project and to this process? And right now we do not know. We don't have an answer, and we feel that's important. And it also, frankly, gives every member and friend an opportunity to pray about this, and in factually, you know, make a commitment. I can't handle a chainsaw, but I can carry things. We all have these gifts, and God has given each one of us. We're sitting here today because God woke us up, brought us here, gave us breakfast. You know, we're here because He has moved His life in us, and He's also given us resources. Different gifts to everybody. And now the question becomes for each of us, what of those gifts are we going to give back in this particular project? That's the prayer. God, what would you have me give out of what you've given me for this project? You know, all of us, I believe, give all over the place because we know it's God's and we're just giving it back. But so we're looking at this particular project. And I just want to take the time to read the letter to you so you have a sense of what's being done, what's being asked. There are envelopes here at the back, envelopes here. Just asking if you're willing to take an envelope home, pray over it. And let me read this to you now. This is a letter that will not be signed, okay? But will be returned and will be collected by elders, and the elders will just add it up and see where we are. Again, the goal is to understand where are we as a body. So the letter reads, it's addressed to for the elders, trustees, and building committee members of Chippewa Valley Bible Church. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus said, let your light shine before men so they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven, Matthew 5:16. I am a member or friend of the SVBC family, and I support the goal of constructing a church building through which the light of Christ will shine into Roxbury and the world. Jesus said, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? Luke 14:28. I know you are obtaining detailed building plans and cost estimates. I want to contribute to the Caleb Fund to help build the church. After prayerful consideration, I pledge to donate the following amounts to the Caleb Fund during the next 3 years. David wrote, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Psalm 139:16. I know that God knows my circumstances both today and what they will be in the future. I may be able to donate more or less than my pledge. This pledge is between my Father in heaven and me. So I will leave it unsigned and place it in the offering basket so you can be effective in financial planning for the church. I will enter my pledge amounts on the note card and keep it in a place where I will be reminded to pray for everyone and every circumstance involved in building the church. Jesus prayed to our Father for all of us. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. John 17:22-23. May this new home for Chippewa Valley Bible Church be a sanctuary and a lighthouse, overflowing with God's grace, mercy, truth, love, and life in all its abundance. And what you'll be asked to keep is a little note card. Keep it where you, your Bible, wherever you pray. And it says, Paul wrote to the Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I believe that God has prepared me to participate in the good work of building the new Chippewa Valley Bible Church Sanctuary. I prayerfully will give from the time, talents, and money that God has given to me as his steward.
I will pray for every person and every task involved in this good work. I pledge to donate, God willing, to the Caleb Fund, and a place to enter those amounts as a reminder to yourself. For you to keep, only where you will see it, not to be signed. This is not about us as individuals. It is about us as individuals, but it's about what God wants to do through each of us so that we as the body will know what we have in hand. We're asking that these be returned by May 15th, 2 weeks from today. The elders are meeting on Friday, May 20th, and on Sunday, May 22nd, we will return to you with the results. Just so you know where we are as the body in this course. So, one of the reasons we're recording this is a lot of our members and friends are not here today, so we will hopefully post this on the website and copies of these that people could download or print off. Mm-hmm. But again, we're just asking, please anonymously return them, put them in the when you make your donations on the next two Sundays, and we will return to you and let you know what we have in hand as Chippewa Valley Bible Church going forward. Are there any questions at all? Any thoughts at all? Concerns? Hopes? Does this sound good to the body?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Thank God. Thank God. All right. Thank you all. I don't know if there's anything else. I want to thank everyone for patience, for being here, and God bless you all. We'll go forward.
Closing in prayer.
Please.
Let's stand. And Father God, we thank you for this hour and this moment in time. Lord, the future is in your hands, but you also made it clear that today that it's in our hands as well, Lord. So I pray for each and every person in this circle. I pray for our brothers and sisters that are not here. I pray for those that are friends, those that have a heart for Chippewa Valley Bible Church. There are even in other churches, Lord, but they just want to know how they can help as well. Mm-hmm. Lord, I thank you for yesterday, which really showed us that if we are together, Lord, we are together because you brought us together. And in you, we can do all things. Mm-hmm. All things in you, Christ, who strengthens us. We thank you that nothing is impossible for you. Yeah. All things are possible. And so we give our all to you right now, Lord, our not only our bodies, but our hearts and our minds as we looked at your scriptures today. And Lord, we give you what we have because all that we have has come from you. And so we pray for these letters, these pledges, Lord, that you would indicate to each one of us by your Spirit, Lord, what we are to give, what we are to contribute. Lord, I pray that we would be surprised by what you're going to do in our midst, Lord, because you own the cattle on 1,000 hills, Lord. All the silver and gold belong to you. I thank you for each of the elders that have spoken today and for our administrator. And Lord, we bless you, we praise you, we give you glory. We thank you that you are going to build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And all these things, Lord, we give you thanks. For you alone, Lord, are worthy. You are worthy of all of our praise and all of our thanksgiving. And we pray this in the precious and mighty and wonderful and awesome name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.